D-Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. We are presented by Bax Homeworks. Bax Homeworks transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. I do want to give a shout-out to my wife's coworker, Ann Lawrence. Ann Lawrence was having a conversation with my wife, and Ann Lawrence mentioned that she needed a handyman. And my wife said, hey, why not call Bax Homeworks? Now we have a satisfied customer. Excuse me.
Comforter, too. I got a satisfied
comforter.
It's very comforting.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, satisfied comforter is better than lustily boobs. In case you missed that in the first hour. But no, shout out.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
I saved that for later.
Shout out to Ann Lawrence.
I could throw the whole show just off the rails with one thing.
And you too can be a satisfied customer or comforter by going to baxhomeworks.com. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Dr. Locke. Doctor, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Thanks, guys. How you doing, D-Mace?
Hey, doing well.
Hey, man, I'm sitting here, and you guys are clearly confused on who the best conference is. Let me recap it for me. Let me break it down for y'all real fast. 2 years ago, Michigan wipes the field with Georgia. Last year, the Ohio State, you guys brought a little patty cake Tennessee team up to the shoe, and we whooped that ass up and down the field.
Then they did.
We went and beat soundly a Texas team. Texas goes out and spends $25 million, brings that weak Arch Manning overrated check down champion to the shoe. Right, brings him up to the shoe, and we dominate the offense and defensive line. We dominated the trenches. The score was closer than the game was. And let's keep going. Let me keep breaking it down for you, fellas. All right. So last year, LSU, one of the three lost SEC teams, they opened the season in Las Vegas to what turned out to be a mediocre USC. D-Mace, who won that game to start last season?
Which one was that?
I'll give you a hint. It wasn't LSU.
It wasn't LSU. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you're damn right it wasn't. I'm going to keep going, though.
We get it, Dr. Locke. Thank you for the call. We get it.
Hey, listen.
He seems like he was.
I didn't hear Derek take issue with anything he said.
Listen, hey, Dr. Locke, I'm in when in Rome, do as the Romans. So I'm in SEC country. I don't have nothing to stand on when it comes to the Big Ten. Nobody wants to see. I love the Big Ten. And you're right. We have dominated the last 2 years. Why? Because we've won the last two championships. So, you know what? The Big Ten right now sits atop the SEC. That's all I'm going to say. Until the SEC wins the championship, then they can demote the Big Ten. But I'm in SEC country, so that'll be the last time I talk about the Big Ten being better than the SEC.
Look, he made great points there.
No, he made some great ones.
I'm not talking about the top of the Big Ten. There's no question that Ohio State was the most dominant team and deservedly won it. Michigan cheated to win it the year before, but they were very talented as well. I'm talking about the depth and the week in and week out tests. There are weak sisters at the bottom of the Big Ten. Everybody knows it. They have too many teams in the league. They've got even more teams than the SEC, and the SEC has too many teams in the league. But there are some easy Saturdays in that league, and Indiana's going to play a few of them before it's over. But I'm very intrigued about how the selection process will go, because I'm just setting the table for the debate. And I am an SEC snob, for sure, and I believe the SEC is deeper than the Big Ten. But legit, teams at the top. And look, I got a lot of Buckeyes in my family. I watched all their playoff games. They were awesome, and they could win it again, no question about it.
By the way,
I'm talking about the depth of the league.
An intriguing matchup this week for Ohio State. The number one ranked Buckeyes travel to Seattle to take on Washington. The 3-0 Washington Huskies. That will be
That's a long road trip.
Yeah,
so always you always wonder
flight,
when you have to take
for
that
college
trip.
Students.
I think I saw this from Pat Forty. I forget the exact number, but he did a little season preview with the schedule, and I think Big Ten teams that had to go on the road to the Pacific time zone or a Pacific time zone team coming into Eastern or Central time were something like 9-17 last year. Now, that doesn't mean Ohio State can't go out there and do it because Ohio State's better, but Ohio State's only about a touchdown favorite, so Washington's pretty good. That's not a gimme.
I think they're factoring in the travel.
Yeah.
So if that was at home, it'd probably be 10.5, probably even more than that. If you're just – because you're right, and I will agree with this wholeheartedly, and I think this is why the SEC, along with winning championships, but this is why the SEC is considered, you know, to a lot of people, the best conference, because the depth of the conference. Yeah, the Big Ten can go head-to-head with the SEC when you're talking 4 or 5 deep. But then after that, that's where the Big Ten have a problem with holding on. And that's what hurts. That's what may hurt a team like Indiana this year. It didn't hurt them last year, but because it was so much uproar, if they don't win one of those games versus Oregon or who else they got, Ohio State, Oregon and Penn State.
Oregon and Penn State.
If they don't win
the
one of those games or both of those games, if they finish with 2 losses, they're not making it in the playoffs.
They
it'd
need
be
to
hard
look good
for them.
In those
yes,
games.
Exactly. It'd be hard for them to make it to the playoffs.
Nate on our text line says, this guy knows we're in Nashville, right? Nashville is in the South. Why would we talk Big Ten ball when we live in the SEC?
Well, because I took a pot shot at the Indiana schedule because that is one of the problems of the Big Ten. Even though they play the 9 conference games, because there's so many teams in the league and the last 4 or 5 teams on a given year are usually fairly weak at the bottom, that's where you can get into that if your schedule falls a certain way. You have a week in-conference schedule.
Skyler does want to give Dr. Locke his due and says, check down champion for Arch Manning was pretty funny, LOL.
That was funny.
But that was a good line.
There are...
He was prepared. Dr. Locke brought it strong.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Dr. Locke indeed brought it strong. A lot of intriguing matchups in the SEC this weekend, which is not meant to be any sort of insult toward the Big Ten, but we're talking SEC. Number 4 LSU at number 13 Ole Miss, number 17 Alabama at number 5 Georgia, and number 15 Tennessee at Mississippi State. Now, gentlemen, I heard what Mitch Light said. I picked Mississippi State as one of my silly underdogs a couple of weeks ago when the Bulldogs upset Arizona State at home. And I'm just going to tell you what my gut tells me right now. I think Mississippi State defeats Tennessee on Saturday.
Really?
I don't know why.
So you think this could be another – what? Who did they lose to? Arkansas last year?
Was Tennessee lost at Arkansas.
Arkansas, yes.
And remember, when we were talking to Hutton yesterday, he mentioned that Chad Withrow, noted Tennessee fan, is nervous about this game on Saturday and thinks it's going to be this season's version of the Arkansas game. I don't know why I'm feeling this way. Maybe it's because I watched Mississippi State take down Arizona State. And I liked what I saw, but the Bulldogs are 4-0. I believe they've already doubled their win total from last season. I think they only won twice last season, if I'm not mistaken. You guys tell me if my gut is wrong, but for some reason, I think Mississippi State is pulling off the upset on Saturday.
I'm not going to say I wouldn't be surprised if it happened.
The Vols, by the way, have won 8 of the past 9 meetings between the
teams. Yes. The Vols, they're a damn good team. But sometimes when you have a loss, the way you – it could, because you hear players say it so much, so many times, especially after that next game, and say if they lose that game, emotional, from an emotional standpoint, they gave a lot in that Georgia game and end up losing. That may take a little bit out of them. Arkansas may be getting them right at the right time. You know, sometimes you say, well, losing a close game like that, you know, should propel you. But this week, going up against this opponent, they may be getting Tennessee at the right time. Not to say that that Tennessee is going to falter moving forward, but I think they're probably catching UT at the right time. If they're not in the right headspace, this could be an upset for Arkansas.
I agree with that. I think that's what Tennessee has to avoid, is going down there and turning the ball over three times, because I do think Tennessee is quite a bit better. Mississippi State is way, way better than they were last year, but that's still not the same as being able to stand toe-to-toe with Tennessee and their talent. I'm a believer in Tennessee. I think Tennessee, this will be one of my take it to the banks. Tennessee is going to win.
Okay. By the way, Tennessee averaging a robust 53.5 points per game.
Right,
so
and they scored 70-something against Chattanooga or whoever that was that they played. But you know, and everybody has one of those. But the tempo does seem to be back. It does look like the quarterback is more comfortable in that system. I think he continues, Aguilar, to get more and more believers that he's better than Nico. He is just flat out the better guy for this team. And I think if they show poise on the road, and that seems to be the only question with him, is he going to be week in and week out able to avoid the turnover issues that he had? But I agree with what Mitch said. I think they're just going to outgun him. Mississippi State, I think, will have their moments, but I think Tennessee is just going to outgun him.
By the way, Chuck on our text line says, it can't be last year's Arkansas game because Mr. Run Out of Bounds on the last play is not there.
You know how Chad was joking about the Vanderbilt fans caring more about Tennessee losing than Vanderbilt winning? Last year, when Vanderbilt beat Alabama, literally they were carrying the goalposts down West End and Broadway while Tennessee was losing to Arkansas. It was like the perfect Saturday. People didn't know, like, oh my gosh, what do I do? Do I watch the goalposts or do I watch the end of this game?
Let's
tear
down the other goalposts. Let's do both. Man. The other two matchups that I mentioned, the two ranked matchups, LSU at Ole Miss, Alabama at Georgia. Your quick thoughts on those two matchups. Which of those two intrigues you more?
Alabama, Georgia, for this reason. For two reasons, I think. Alabama loses, their chances of making it to the college football playoffs. I know there's 12 teams, but their chances, man, they become very slim.
Yeah, Mitch said that it's not an elimination game for Alabama if they lose, but it may as well be, depending, you know, based on the road that they would have to take.
Exactly.
It's how it goes down, right? Mm-hmm. If it's last-second field goal, that's different than getting soundly whipped.
Yeah, so one, and then I think two, if DeBoer, because for so long, I mean, Alabama has had Georgia number. Well, Coach Saban has had Georgia number. Let's say that. Not Alabama, Coach Saban has had Georgia's number. Coach Saban isn't there anymore. And if you can't start to show that you can beat these teams consistently, I mean, there's some simmering down there already, I'm sure, in Tuscaloosa. If you don't win this game, and if you get embarrassed, they're going to be calling for you. They're going to be calling for him to go. I'm not saying he will. They're going to fire him. But, boy, I listen to Paul Feinbaum show sometimes late at night. And, boy, oh, boy, if Alabama loses, I'm going to turn on his show because it's going to be a show.
That's how I feel. That's how I feel after – sorry, Connor Newt. That's how I feel after Kentucky basketball loses a big game, and I turn on Kentucky sports radio with Matt Jones.
Just for the entertainment of it. Yeah.
Same thing. I get it. I get it, Derek.
Well, I love the word simmering. I was reminded of the SNL skit, simmer down, simmer down. Because they are not going to simmer down.
No.
Because I think this is the thing. Like, DeBoer's best win, of course, was last year over Georgia, and everybody's like, this is – and then they proceeded to have a lot of trouble the next week, of course, is when they lost to Vanderbilt. But along those lines, Alabama in particular, under DeBoer, when they've gone on the road, have not played well.
2-4, if I'm not mistaken, on the road.
And this is, you know, without question, a very tough place to play on the road. So they have to show that they can hang. So the simmer, it's going to heat back up. Mm-hmm. He's been able to quiet down the critics to a degree because they have looked very sharp. But this will be a great test. Gunnar Stockton seemed to really take a next step in, can he get it done in a hostile environment? So now he's got to do it again, because when you're Georgia's quarterback, you got to do it every week. I still am not completely sold on him, but he's gutsy. There's no question.
Josh from White House says, Mississippi State has a chance to win the game, but they won't beat Tennessee. Tennessee may give it away, but they won't be beat.
It's still a loss either way.
I might have struck a nerve, but keep in mind, three consecutive wins and silly underdog picks. I'm just saying, my gut has been working for me lately. So my gut tells me Mississippi State's going to pull it off. I did not pick that game, so if I lose, it's no skin off my nose. But I'm just saying. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the week ahead in college football. By the way, Connor Newt has texted me and says, in the words of Will Smith, keep my cat's name out your mouth. I'm sorry, Connor, but when Kentucky loses, like when Kentucky lost to Oakland in the NCAA tournament, I believe that was Calipari's final game as Kentucky head coach. I think I stayed up to like 2 o'clock in the morning listening to Matt Jones at Kentucky Sports Radio.
Carnu might hate me for saying this, but he was caught crying in the studio.
Oh, no.
So sorry, Connor, for bringing that
Connor,
up.
Connor, that's okay. Oh, wow. I've cried over a sporting event or two. It's okay. No shame in that. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the weekend ahead in college football. But coming up next, yesterday we asked, WTF is going on with Calvin Ridley? There is another player on the Tennessee Titans that I think we need to ask the same question about. And we will do that. Well, there are a lot of them, but we're going to focus on one of them. Coming up next at 615-737-1025, the Blue Raiders of MTSU, of course, will take on Kennesaw State this Saturday at 5 o'clock. Catch all of the action on Totally Hits 93.3, with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. D-Mace Vingan and Donick 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. You may have just heard Willie referencing the Gold Star Showcase for the Nashville Predators. That is tonight at F&M Bank Arena in Clarksville. Starts at 6:30. That game will be broadcast right here on 102.5 The Game. The rosters, by the way, have been released for the game. Some notable additions. Zachary LaRue will be playing in this game. Willie, correct me if I'm wrong, he hasn't been practicing at training camp?
Not for the last several days. Yeah, so he has not played in any of the three preseason games yet, so this will be his first game action, so to speak.
Tanner Molendijk will also be participating, his first game action as well.
Yes, he got injured in the practice before the rookie tournament, so he has been out for a couple weeks, so it's good to see him back in there.
So, once again, the Gold Star Showcase will be at F&M Bank Arena in Clarksville tonight, a 6:30 p.m. start. You can listen to that game right here on 102.5 The Game. It will also be streamed on NashvillePredators.com. Back to the Titans. Yesterday, we talked about Calvin Ridley and what the hell is going on with Calvin Ridley. And today, I want to keep that series going, the what the hell is going on with series when it comes to the Tennessee Titans. a lot of material there. And today, what the hell is going on with Tavondre Sweat? That's the next installment in the what the hell is going on series. So Tavondre Sweat missed most of training camp with various ailments. He had an oblique injury, then he had a tonsillectomy. He missed pretty much all of training camp, as I said. Did not play in any preseason games, if I recall correctly. Then he suffers an ankle injury. Last week, he was limited in practice on Wednesday and Thursday, did not practice on Friday, and then on Saturday, the Titans put him on injured reserve with that ankle injury, meaning he will miss at least three more games. He has to miss at least four. The first one was last weekend against the Colts. So Sweat will have to miss three more games. Now, Paul Kaharsky said on our show the other day and has reported that Sweat re-injured himself on Thursday, hence the IR designation. But, Willie, you mentioned this with Hutton yesterday, if I recall correctly, that last season, after the Titans drafted Tavondre Sweat, there were concerns about his weight and his conditioning and how much is he going to play. And I thought he answered all of those questions last season. He was available. He played, I want to say, roughly 2/3 of the defensive snaps. So I thought he quieted those doubts. But now I feel like we're having the conversation we thought we were going to be having about Tavondre Sweat last season. What the hell is going on with Tavondre Sweat?
this one is really one to watch, I think, because not only did people question, it became a big thing in the summer. Like, oh my gosh, they used the second round pick on this guy. Is he even going to get on the field?
There were character concerns, if I'm not mistaken.
Some.
That wasn't the biggest issue.
There was an off-field incident, I believe, right? Did he have a DUI? DWI, something like that, right before the draft?
Am I remembering that right?
He was arrested for DWI.
DWI. Okay, so, and you're like, how could that happen right before the draft? What kind of decision-making is that? So there were a lot of people that were concerned that this was going to be the next in a long line of draft picks that have not worked out. He played very well last year. Very well. I'm not sure what to think this year, because some of this I think is out of his control. The tonsillectomy, and he's gotten hurt. But you put all that together, and this does, I think, test your character, right? When you have some things pile up on you adversity wise that, you know, it's not on you. Your attitude with your physical therapy, with your rehab, that does make a difference in how quickly you can get back on the field and be effective. It's one thing to get back out there, but he's going to have to do very, very well to get up to speed and get anything out of this season. He's surrounded by a team that's really struggling. So this is going to test his character, maybe even more so than all of the challenges last year.
Oh, it's going to test a lot. Most importantly, it's going to test his conditioning and his diet and his weight.
That's what it's going to test.
Why? Because he's not working out as if he was getting ready for a game. He didn't play much during preseason. Didn't practice much because of what was going on with him. That was out of his control. He lose weight, puts back on weight, obviously, can play the first game of the season. He plays, does well, but then all of a sudden, now he's on IR. I'm afraid that this may end up being a lost season for him. Because with a big guy like that, man, with an ankle injury and some other ailments he's had, again, out of his control, I mean, it ain't like he purposely did these things to himself or anything. It's just a part of, you know, playing a sport and living. Tonsillectomy. So that's out of his control. But my concern is, yes, he may still be working out, but the injury that he has is not going to allow him to work out the way he's accustomed to working. A big guy like that needs to work, needs to burn those calories, needs to work. He's not doing the necessary work. And I'm not saying that he's not working, because I'm sure he's doing as much conditioning as he can. And they would be a fool to not have him doing any conditioning. But it's not the conditioning that he would be getting if he was ready to go each and every week. And to me, the longer he's out, the longer that's a concern for me.
Here's another aspect of it. And this is, again, just piling on to the challenges of coming back for him. A big, big guy, his body type, and he has lost a lot of time. What's the hockey phrase we use all the time when a guy comes back from injury and he's missed 15 games?
Catching a moving train.
And I think this is going to apply to Meatloaf here, okay? But on top of that, the motivation, you have to be extra sharp, because you're coming back to a team that's likely to be, I don't know, 1-6, 2-5, 0-7, I don't know. When he's eligible to come off, the team very well could be out of it. Some players maybe aren't as driven to get back and be at their best when you know the season could be kind of lost at that point. I'm not saying that we know anything like that about T-Sweat, but I have seen guys with their PT. There are different levels of who gets back quicker. There are reasons why certain guys get back quicker than others. Yeah. And so this is the test for a young player that's got a lot of promise, but his unique physique and everything like that, like you said, you got to work extra hard, I think, to be there.
Yeah, he's going to have to. He's a bigger fella. and his challenges. My challenges coming off an ankle injury isn't the same as Sweat's challenges. I weigh a buck 80, 90 pounds. He weighs twice as much as I do. So how do you rehab that, but also make sure he's in condition to where when he is ready to go, you know, when he is healthy, he's ready to go from a physical standpoint. And that's hard to do when you can't. And listen, I'm only assuming because it was an ankle injury. So I'm assuming that he re-injured it.
Yeah. And it's supposedly to a point, the high ankle,
to a point where they had to put him on IR. So that was severe. So that tells me if it's a high ankle sprain, you're in a boot for one. When you're in the boot, you ain't doing much. You maybe do some pool stuff on the treadmill, but you're not getting the running that you need. Or they might put you on one of those treadmills that kind of, you know, the body weight thing where they hold you up pretty much. Those things you could do, but those things aren't getting you in the conditioning you need to be in when you come off IR. Because when you come off IR, I still believe there's going to be another week or two before he plays. Because you now that he's off IR, you got to get him going.
Well, he's still on IR.
No, I'm saying once he gets off IR,
yes.
You know, unless, you know, he's more ready to go in that third week, but because you put him on IR, he has to sit out the full four weeks.
Yes.
If he's ready week three, then you can start ramping him up, conditioning.
He's eligible to return for the home game against the Patriots on October 19th.
So I'm hoping that he really is able to return before that. But because they put him on IR, he can't come back until then. So if he's really ready like a week or two before that, you make sure from a conditioning standpoint that you start to ramp it up. So when he is ready to play, when the league says, okay, he can play now, then you're more amped to put him out now rather than saying, you know what, we got to wait. Even though he's ready, you know, not ready, but even though they say he can play now, we got to wait another week or two to get him ready to play.
By the way, an update on Cam Ward. Remember, he was listed as limited on the injury report yesterday with an ankle/calf injury. The Titans conducted a walkthrough on Wednesday, so the Wednesday practice report was an estimation. Cam Ward was a full participant in practice today with that ankle/calf injury. So,
but
stand down.
J.C. Latham
did not practice again.
Did not practice. It doesn't look good.
Kevin Zeitler limited in practice with a bicep injury.
That's hopeful. And he's got the bicep. I'm hoping the KG vet can find a way to get out there so we don't see Mr. Hance. Not to be confused with Mr. Hand from
Aloha, Mr. Hand.
Mr. Hand.
Oh,
that's nice to Ridgemont High. There was one notable injury on the Texans side that we noticed earlier today. Mm-hmm. Derek Stingley Jr., an excellent cornerback, did not practice. There seems to be some worry that he may not be able to go.
Well, that'd be good for the Titans.
615-737-1025. How concerned are you about Tavondre Sweat? He's on IR. He has to miss at least three more games. But is it a lost season for Sweat, as Derek said? What's your concern level about the status of Tavondre Sweat? 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tomorrow, join us as we broadcast live from 3 to 6 p.m. at Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse as they celebrate the opening of their all-new rooftop dining area and bar. It's also a great place to go before or after Vanderbilt games. Our show will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circa Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football game. Head up there and watch the two Monday night games, Jets-Dolphins, 0-3 versus 0-3. In case you didn't get your fill of 0-3 and 0-3 on Sunday when the Titans play the Texans, you can also catch Jets and Dolphins and Bengals versus Broncos. Plus, ask about Circa's giveaway of a trip to Las Vegas for the Titans-Raiders game in October. And to answer a question that was asked of us on Monday, no, if you win the trip, you are not obligated to go to the Titans game against the Raiders. But Derek Mason will be going to the game in October. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go and hang out with Derek Mason, that's worth going up to Kentucky and filling out an entry form.
We get the
pleasure of hanging out with Derek Mason every day. But if you want to do that too, head up to Kentucky, to the Circus Sportsbook, and enter for your chance to win a trip to Las Vegas to see, in theory, the Titans Raiders game in October. Talking to Vondre Sweat, and what the hell is going on with Devondre Sweat? Andrew from Dover on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I think they did the right thing to let him heal. I have had one of those sprains. It was out for 8 weeks. Best to let him heal now so he can destroy Mike Vrabel's O-line. And here's one thing. We've mentioned these numbers before. To summarize, the Titans' run defense last season with Devondre Sweat on the field was really good, and it suffered greatly when he was off the field. And if you look at the Titans' run defense so far, it's not so good. Just in pure yards allowed per game, the Titans have allowed the fourth most rushing yards per game through the first 3 weeks of the season, 145.7. Their stuff percentage, now a run stuff is considered any run play that results in no gain or a loss. The Titans' run stuff percentage this season is just 8.4%, next to last in the NFL. If I recall correctly, they were near the top of the league in that category last season. They were fourth in the NFL last season at 20.1%. So not saying that Devondre Sweat is solely responsible for the Titans' run defense having a hard time through 3 weeks, but he plays a big role in that.
I would say that in the worst-case scenario, Devondre Sweat and J.C. Latham, no matter how you slice it, where you put them in the top 10, they are two of the top 10 players on the roster.
Yes.
And they are two of the most important players on the roster. I would contend they're probably in the top five of those guys in the big picture, because those are guys you hope are pillars for the future when the stadium opens. But you take those two guys off, it is, and I'm not saying that they'd be 3-0 or anything close to it if they had those guys, but it is making the job a lot harder without those two guys. Those are guys that I was really excited about seeing progress from year one to year two, and both of them basically haven't played. Or they, you know, they played portions of the first game, both got hurt. That is a killer in the now and in the big picture.
Yeah, it's concerning because these are two of the guys that I'm sure at the beginning of the season you thought they were going to be high contributors to what you were going to do and how successful you were going to be as a team. You knew the only way that you can keep your quarterback upright, one of the ways is to have JC at right tackle to help, you know, fortify an offensive line that has been bad. And he's not there, and you see what's happening. There's leakage everywhere in the offensive line, and it doesn't help when Zeitler isn't fully healthy at all, and Cushenberry is coming off an Achilles injury. So you're dealing with that. And then on the other side, you got this, you know, behemoth of an individual that's highly talented that you feel are one of your pillars on this team, and you wanted to get that combination of him and Simmons to be one of the most dominant combinations in the National Football League as far as, you know, guys in the interior. Now he's not available to play. And now what you thought at the beginning of the season is no more. You don't know. You say 4 weeks for Devondre Sweat to come back, but will it be 4 weeks? Is it going to be longer than that? Then with J.C. Latham, that hip, you don't know how that's going to heal itself. And then if he is healthy enough to get him back in there, what if he injures it again? You know, so you have two concerns right now, and both of them one is on the offensive side of the ball in the trenches, and one is on the defensive side of the ball in the trenches. And that's where you've struggled at for the last 2 years, where both have struggled. The defensive line struggled last year, and they're struggling now. And the offensive line struggled last year, and they're struggling now. And the two guys that you depended on are no longer there. You don't know really when they're going to be back fully 100% healthy.
One texter on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says they're protecting Sweat for next year. Judging by the way Chad Brinker laughed at Big Joe Dubin's Super Bowl question in the preseason and then basically said, in no uncertain terms, we're going to suck this year, they're tanking again. But this time, since he doesn't have Rand Carthon to throw under the bus for it, maybe he'll actually get fired and this team will finally have a chance.
But I think if you were expecting something way better than this, I know what has really hurt. The story is how they've hurt themselves. Mm-hmm. And not as much about the limitations of the roster. But if you were not aware of the limitations of the roster, that's on you. You were not really paying attention. And what did you think Brinker should say for Joe's question? That's why Joe gets the award for asking a very interesting question in that nobody would ask that question except Joe.
Yeah.
But it was an enlightening question because it forced them to sort of answer it.
Exactly.
But it was their chance to say, yes, look, this is a rebuild with a capital R. And they were not clear about that last year when it really was. And you can even wind it back to 2 years ago. That's when they arguably should have started the rebuild, but they tried to roll it back one more time, which I get.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. Like, it's hard to admit it's time to rebuild. And if you think you can win, the competitor in you wants to win, but now they don't have a choice.
Skyler on our text line asks, with T'Vondre Sweat going on IR and having a lost season, does that affect the thought of trading Jeffrey Simmons if you're the Titans front office?
I mean, depending on, like, right now, I don't think there was a thought either way. Maybe there was, I don't know. But I'm just thinking, at the beginning of the season, there's probably no thought to trading Jeffrey Simmons at the beginning of the season. But I do believe once you get closer to that trade deadline and this team isn't putting up the effort that they need to make a playoff run, then I don't think T'Vondre Sweat being injured will alter what they do as far as trying to trade a guy. If he is injured, I think they would be more inclined to trade Jeffrey Simmons in the middle. If he is injured, it's like, okay, we're not winning. Let's try to get something for him.
You know me, I've been pretty consistent, and I was wondering about, I think we had a hypothetical a couple of weeks ago before the season started of if they were sort of hanging around the race, how much more difficult it would be to even vet a trade. Now it looks like it'll be pretty easy to shop them around. People might be calling you, but I would set my price. If you can give me a first rounder and another top 100 pick, I'm very interested in that. Because I go back to my central question. Who is going to be on this roster when the new stadium opens? Who is a part of the next great Titans team? And if you can't answer yes, that person should be shopped around and see what you could get for them. Because I think they are a long way. We just did the exercise earlier this week about comparing the Titans roster, the top 10, 12 players on their roster compared to the best rosters in the game. And we were inspired by watching the Lions and the Ravens, two of the best rosters in the game. And it's night and day. It's night and day. They are a long way from having a roster that even resembles those two. It's going to take more than two drafts, which is what they have to work with before they go into that new stadium.
Let me tell you how difficult it was for me. So we scrapped that segment because of all of the things that happened with the Titans earlier this week, Brian Callahan, Jarvis Brownlee. What we were going to do, influenced by the Monday Night Football game between the Lions and the Ravens, was to look at just how far the Titans are from having a roster that can be considered one of the top rosters in the NFL. The Ravens and Lions certainly have two of the best rosters in the NFL. And what we were going to do was, you know, I think Derek was going to do the top 10 for the Ravens. Mm-hmm. Willie was going to do the top 10 players for the Lions, and I drew the short straw and had to do the top 10 players for the Titans. And let me tell you, that was hard as hell. I was like, Jeffrey Simmons won. And then after that, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, there's nobody.
I couldn't even think about who to put at number two. I was like, here's just a mash of other players. Like, T'Vondre Sweat and J.C. Latham were both on that top 10 list. I don't remember what order. But, yeah. Like, I was really thinking about it and having a really hard time And that's not good. And I'm just a radio host. I'm not Chad Brinker or Mike Borgonzi. And it was hard for me. So,
especially when you start putting the accolades of these players, mm-hmm. like you hope that Sweat and Latham turn into really good players who do end up on these position rankings or top 100 kind of things. But right now, it's all hope. Mm-hmm. It's all same thing with Cam Ward. I think he's got a chance to be good, but right now, after three games, he hasn't done anything yet. It's not his fault. But he's in the top 10. Did you have Ward in your top 10?
Yes.
You have to, right?
You do.
But he hasn't done anything in the league yet.
Yeah. Right.
If you compare
Calvin
the
Ridley,
other guys, these guys have got credentials. They've got notches on the belt. 12 deep in both teams.
Calvin Ridley needed to be in the top 10, but
yeah,
certainly
by default.
Not, certainly hasn't played like a top 10 player. By the way, one texter says, Derek, did we get the message across to Calvin Ridley yesterday that he better not drop a ball this weekend?
I hope so. I hope he did get the message, if not from me, from himself, after he watched the film, that he needs to be better. And listen, it's not so much of a, you know, me getting on him or a critique. It's more so of, I believe, I've seen him do it. I believe he can do it. I've been watching this young man I loved him in Alabama. I loved him in Atlanta. I even said when he went through all that stuff in Atlanta, I said the Titans should make a trade for him. They should get him. You know, he's a 1,300-yard receiver. I know he has to sit out a year, but you have him in your building. You get him. They didn't get him. He went to Jacksonville. He can play. But for whatever reason, he's been dropping way too many balls at times where he needs to catch them. Every receiver drops balls. But when you have a young quarterback, those drops need to be far and few between, and his hasn't been that. And that's why I believe I have the credentials to critique him.
You do?
So that's why what I'm doing. I'm not saying that he's a bad receiver. I'm just saying that he's not holding up his end of the bargain.
By the way, William on our YouTube chat, Willie says, rebuild in 72 font. You said rebuild with a capital R?
Yes.
And rebuild in 72 font.
72 font. Well, let's give an example. Let's tie the two questions together. The question was, should they trade Jeffrey Simmons? Here is why I would continue to say yes. Derrick Henry was ranked the 7th best player in the league going into this year, right? It's amazed us, sort of. And as Derek has pointed out many times, he's the perfect fit for the Ravens. These fumbles aside, he's on the perfect team for him. I think it's very realistic to say he would not have been able to put this type of production together for this group of Titans players, but he's still one amazing player. The Titans got nothing for Derrick Henry. Nothing!
You're right.
The asset is gone. Because they didn't want to trade him. Because I don't know why. They didn't want to be the team that, quote, traded Derrick Henry. Well, you got nothing for him. Are you going to let that happen with Jeffrey Simmons? Because that's what they're faced with. Or waiting to trade him where his value will go down. That's why I wouldn't do it.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunting.com. We'll take your thoughts on Tavondre Sweat, Jeffrey Simmons, the Tennessee Titans. Anything and everything, even lustily boobs. I'm never letting that go, Willie. Coming up next, the Titans are one of 6 winless teams in the NFL. They happen to be playing another one of those 6 winless teams this weekend in the Houston Texans. Let's compare and contrast, because I'm wondering what the conversations are like in Houston right now about the 0-3 Texans. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.